Word. But before we start with the sermon proper, I actually have a very important foundation question. And that question is, do you believe that God's Word is true? Do you believe that it is from God for you? There are so many of us that start to read the Bible and question it. And after a long time, and this happens actually to div students a lot, and then we have to come back to the point where Scripture speaks to you. But you learn the Greek and the Hebrew, and you start to pull the text apart to get the meaning. And in the process of questioning and prodding and going on, you become the authority. Unfortunately, some people stay at that point. They are the word of wisdom and insight, not God's word. And so I encourage all of you to come to a very vulnerable place in your relationship with God, where you say, God, what is in your word is true, and I trust in it to shape me, to form me in what you have imagined me to be. And so I have a couple of scripture verses that I have asked my husband Craig to read for us. So if you guys...
Let your love, God, shape my life with salvation exactly as you promised. Then I'll be able to stand up to mockery because I trusted your word. Don't ever deprive me of truth, not ever. Your commandments are what I depend on. Oh, I'll guard with my life what you've revealed to me. Guard it now, guard it ever. And I'll stride freely through wide open spaces as I look for your truth and your wisdom. Then I'll tell the world what I find. Speak out boldly in public, unembarrassed. In Psalm 119:97-105. Oh, how I love all you've revealed. I reverently ponder it all the day long. Your commands give me an edge on my enemies. They never become obsolete. I've even become smarter than my teachers since I've pondered and absorbed all your counsel. I've become wiser than the wise old sages simply by doing what you tell me. I watch my step, avoiding the ditches and ruts of evil, so I can spend all my time keeping your word. I never make detours from the route you laid out. You gave me such good directions. Your words are so choice, so tasty. I prefer them to the best home cooking. With your instruction, I understand life. That's why I hate false propaganda. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path.
I like the NIV's translation of the last couple of verses where it said, God, your word is so sweet, it's even sweeter than honey. And your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. It is actually one of the most quoted pieces in the Bible, of the Psalms, actually. And so if you really listened, and I do encourage you to take those verses home with you this week and meditate on them, as Sean taught us last week. We can make a conscious decision to trust God's word, to trust that it is true and that it is life-giving. But it is what you do with what you've been given that will define you as a human being. If you go and you really go what the psalmist says and say, Lord, I think about your word. I think about it day and night, and it makes me wise. I'm so smart, I even am smarter than my teachers. It's because of God's word. Because God's word does the following for us. It transforms you. It leads you, and it brings you into community. All those things do not happen like little steps. It's a conglomeration of those things, and see it as a plait. You know, it's all interwoven, and don't see it as steps. And yes, maybe in your life it happened like little steps. At first, the transformation, and sometimes it's first through community that the transformation comes. And then God shows you, he leads you on. So please don't see this as a three-step sermon. It is not. These things are interwoven, and they're unique and individual because God is walking a very unique and individual walk with you all. So let's just break it down for the sermon's sake, and let's say God's word transforms you. A good example of this is actually the following. You are in a very difficult time of your life. You're in a desert season. And in this time, you choose to turn to God's word. And you read it and you read it. And as you read it, you come upon these words, I will never leave you. Jesus said that to the disciples, and you think to yourself, but I'm a follower of Jesus. Aren't those words then applicable to me? Aren't they true for me? And you go to work, and you cook meals, and you do your thing, and those words stick with you. And you realize that, yes, God is with me. He will never, ever leave me alone. Internalization took place. Those words were not just for 12 disciples or 11 disciples. Those words are for you today in your circumstances. And when that internalization took place in your heart and mind, in your soul and spirit, and you choose to take that word as your own, something wonderful happens. You start to live it. Because you have received that comfort of God will not leave me, the season, this dry and weary season, becomes something that you see as, wow, God used this time to draw me closer to him, to reveal who he is as a father, as a God, as a friend and teacher to me. Not only that, but now you live that for other people. You will now show that commitment and being there to those around you. You will not leave people. It is the most interesting thing. It happens subconsciously, sometimes consciously, but we demonstrate what we believe. It is wonderful. But this, all of this, this huge big explanation is a word I found when I listened to Eugene Peterson. It is called living theology. There is a beautiful Dutch word, and this whole week I've been trying to explain this thing of internalizing scripture, but you live it through your soul and your spirit and your body, and then you can go out and you live the gospel. And so now I stuck with those words, and I knew that there had to be a way to explain this, and so my metaphor did that, or my little example did that. But also there's a term, a lived theology. So for the smart theologians among us, that word is for you to ponder about this week. The second thing is that God leads us. I love how Psalm 119 says all the time, God, you teach me how to live. Your law shows me what to do. God's word is truly instructive. It shows us who we are, not only just as a created being, but who we are in Christ. If you choose Jesus as your Savior, everything changes. In John, the Gospel of John, he starts by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But this Word came down to earth and dwelt among us and became flesh. This is just me paraphrasing. But think about this, just for a moment. The Word who spoke this whole universe into being came down. You believe that the Word, Jesus Christ, died for your sins. You accepted that salvation into your life. And now that power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, just stay with me, this is not complicated, is in you. You have power, a new life God's power, God's life in you. And now, God will lead you to be the best you can be, the fulfillment of His dream for your life will come into existence. And what does that look like? That looks like the following. I need a volunteer. Just someone who can play a mannequin. Really, you just have to stand here. Oh. And he jumps at the opportunity, not knowing what his wife will do. I love this.
I wasn't warned about this part.
No, you weren't. You volunteered. And you don't know what I'm going to do. Okay. So, as we live our lives, Christians or not, certain things start happening to us. People say, you're quiet. You're really, really not that big. Yeah, you guys can laugh. But do you think that's nice? No?
Be nice now.
Yeah, this is difficult. I should have had someone else. You don't pack the dishwasher the way I like. So then you might think, I'm not good enough. The way I pack the dishwasher is not good enough for this person I love so dearly. You're not quick enough, Craig. You just take too long to wake up. My efforts in helping and serving my wife isn't good. And the breaking down process begins. Slowly but surely. And this man walks to work with labels. Do it faster. You're not good enough. You're not big and strong enough. But no one bothers to see the inside. And in this case, not even his wife. But if Craig, and you have to stay like that, thank you. If Craig then comes to Scripture and says, Lord, people say all sorts of things about me, things that hurt me. Yes, some things build me up, but there are things that are not of you. Binds me and it tears me down. Build me up. You are in me. I have your resurrection power in me, and I choose in my inmost being to submit to your word and to have that as a part of who I am. Something wonderful starts to happen. Craig meditates on God's truth. God's truth who shows him, this is who you are. This is the direction I want you to follow. And this is how I see you. These start to fall off because they are not in line with God's truth. They are not God's words for this man. And so he stands empty of himself and of the labels of this world. And God does something on the inside. Our words may stick on the outside, but God does something way more powerful. He says to this man, where you are weak, I'm strong. What you do matters. You are wonderfully created. You serve people. That is a gift I have given. There is time to be slow. I have given you to your wife so that she can learn patience. And all of a sudden, something beautiful happens. This man walks around, and people now, actually, you know what? They should see your face, who you are. People see him not bogged down by the weight of these words that kill and destroy. But they see him as a helper, as God's creation, as someone who teaches patience and kindness, who serves in a way that I can't even do it. It's a gift. And that is God's word inside him. And because he has it inside him, he lives it. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing. And it comes to the last point. It builds community. It brings us into community. We are not made to live on an island by ourselves. What we have, and honey, now you can go down. I will take this from you. Thank you very much, my volunteer. We are made for community. We are not made to create our own little theology and sit alone in a corner. Our words do not stop speaking. And when I say that, I mean the following. Words literally don't stop. What I say now will be heard out in space, and it will continue into eternity. It will not stop. So be mindful of the words you say. Before people or behind their backs. And I say this to myself too. This sermon convicted me a little bit as well. I encourage you as a congregation to take God's word seriously. To just spend 1 hour a week with God does not a relationship make. Do you remember when you were in love, how you would think about that other person all the time? You would want to spend as much time as possible with that person. Why? Why? Because you want to get to know them. And that is a beautiful example of what this eternal relationship with God is. Spend time with him. He gave you his word. He gave you the ability to meditate, to think, to fill yourself up with his truth and make it a part of who you are as a being. You have that ability to make that choice. Yes, God's word is sweeter than honey because we build one another up. We appreciate one another's gifts. And we as a church can start to change how we act and react towards one another. I have asked Roxanne to hand out, what do you call them? Popsicle sticks. It's not ice lolly sticks. It's popsicle sticks, to hand them out with a little bit of honey. But I'm going to ask Sean, actually, if you don't mind, to read from Proverbs 7, verse 1 to 4, as you guys partake in a little bit of honey. As you take a little bit of this honey, I want you to see this as a symbol that even though this honey is so sweet and tastes so delicious, God's word is even sweeter. It will guide you and it will show you where to walk. It will protect you and it will show you your identity. But you have to make that choice and that commitment towards God. And so as you do this, you can pray. Just have your time with God. But I'm inviting Sean up to just read from Proverbs.
My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative.
I love this piece of scripture. I think in the Jewish tradition, or the Jews had such a wonderful way of making scripture a part of their everyday life. I did not bring my prayer shawl, but I have a prayer shawl at home. And on its edges, it has a gazillion of teeny tiny knots. And that represents the law of God. And a man would go, and he would cover his head with a prayer shawl, and sometimes they would play with the knots, saying and reciting scripture and the law of God. Have it on your fingers. Make it a part of you. They would also have a clay tablet with the law, very small, on their foreheads or wound up on their upper arm, close to your heart. And that would symbolize that God, my mind is constantly on your law. It is close to my heart, in fact, engraved on my heart, a symbol of that. And so as you take this honey, you will know that God is inviting you to be wise, to have understanding, to have knowledge. And I encourage you this week to go and live this fulfillment of Scripture, this invitation over your life. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. God has a plan for you. It's all in His Word. It's alive, and you will never, never grow weary of His words to you. So go out and read those words so that you in turn can speak God's word. Thank you.